Hit it.
Tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know, that's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Now, let's cut to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
We're live.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm talking about Jim Lawler on the board. S&P futures down 12. NASDAQ futures up 29. It's a pretty big move up from where we were last night when the shooting started over in Iran again. We were down like 25 or 30 and 135, but we're buying the dip, no matter what, we buy the dip. India's economy expands 7.8% in fiscal first quarter, beating estimates. So there you go, James. We have
Chief, good morning. Jimmy, good morning.
How are you?
Good morning, Jeff.
Good. I was just going to say that the Wall Street Journal said the good times are continuing on.
They are. Did you listen to the Fed chairman's speech on Friday at Jackson Hole?
No, I did not.
Well, a couple things were interesting. But I'm going to ask you two mavens right out of the gate. You got four birds sitting on a tree limb. Just saying. And three birds decide to fly away. How many do you have left?
Last I looked was probably one.
Jimmy?
Yes, one.
Just saying. They decided.
Right.
They decided to fly away. They didn't fly away. They decided to. There's four.
Yeah.
There's still four. They didn't do anything. They just decided to fly away. I didn't say.
See.
So we have a Fed chairman who spoke incredibly about what he's going to do, how he's going to fight inflation. He also admitted for the first time, and I was really happy to hear this, that virtually all the inflation in the last 5 years was due to the Fed. Nobody said that in forever, except maybe me. he's going to fight inflation, and he's pounding the table and doing everything. He's like the birds. He's not done anything yet. Money supply is still growing every month. Still got the market going up. Still doing whatever Trump tells him. And I wonder, you know, from what we talked about last week, you know, the video that I saw regarding when things get over the line, meaning speculation gets too far up, as to whether you get to the point where any, even a reasonable move, you're worried about basically roiling up the good times. I think that he needs to, and what he does with interest rates is kind of a separate subject, although it should be tied together. If he all of a sudden drops the money supply growth to zero and does something to stop the speculation in the stock market, the adjustment, I'll say, I won't say crash, the adjustment in the stock market is not what anybody wants, including the guy who thinks he's his boss. So he's not going to do anything except talk, which is unfortunate because I think he actually has his heart in the right place. Now, that's my take. What do you guys think?
Well, there's so many. There's so many cheerleaders because so many people have, I think, money in this market. And let's face it, you know, they've a lot of people that have all the insiders of SpaceX. I don't say insiders from a bad. I mean, people that have or granted stock and so forth. But there's so much institutional and wealthy people that are vested in the stock market going up. They're going to send us right into bankruptcy just so they can continue.
I don't want the market going down. I have clients, you know where some of them are. Even though I have everybody protected, we're not going to make dollar for dollar in a way down.
No, but that's my point is that so many people have. And your clients are normal people. I mean, they're not the ultra. I mean, you may have some ultra wealthy. I don't know, Tom.
Got a couple.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, but let's face it. It's the. I think it's the institutions, and the people that are really high net worth that really control the market. Don't you?
Well, absolutely. How much of the stock now is in institutional hands? How much of it is in the ETF hands? Quite a big chunk, right?
Yeah, so basically, chalk up the good times. Here, I'm reading from the Wall Street Journal. Chalk up the good times to a confluence of fortunate events, red-hot artificial intelligence spending, federal spending, and the windfall companies are getting from the form of refunds. Booming stock market and high home values are helping many shoppers keep spending.
It's called a bubble.
Now, the question is, even as plenty of others struggle to absorb the rising prices.
The thing of it is, do you have the discipline? I mean, I'll just pick a stock. I mean, actually, none of our people have it, so I'm not advocating they sell it or anything. I've got Palantir at an over 40 price to earnings, price to revenue.
Sales.
And,
revenue?
Revenue, sales, same thing. You know, they could be going to grow like there's no tomorrow in the next 5 years, and I hope they do. What's the number? 80, 120, 150, 200? When does it get to the point where it's too much? You know, you go back to the original one of these bubbles was tulips in Amsterdam. And as long as people bought tulips, excuse me, and just plain paid cash, well, whatever they had for them, cash for them, you know, nobody really cared, I guess. And sure enough, they end up being on an exchange. Then they ended up being, you could margin them. It got to the point where one tulip was more worth more. Boy, this is a tough one for Mr. Lawler. One tulip was worth more than a wagon load of beer. You know, can you imagine that? When you talk about relative value, I mean, where are we going here? I mean, we're talking about housing prices have totally outstripped the price of every man to get in one, especially if you're every man and you're younger. Okay, how long can that last? 2007, it didn't last very long. Now it's lasted a lot longer. Are we just better at it or what?
Tom, you know, obviously I don't even know what to say anymore. I'm almost exhausted looking at this market. Actually, I am exhausted. I mean, I'm exhausted doing it.
Well, but it's,
if that,
you know,
makes
it,
any
it,
sense.
Some of the companies, I think, are actual buys. I mean, it hasn't been across the board.
No.
And you look at some of the, you know, individual stuff regarding, well, even the tariffs. I mean, let's talk about, how do you even read these articles? This is by a guy did a nice job. Well, actually, it's a lady. Alaya Neelakandan. NEEL, what's her name? Oh, wow. Retailers have diverged in how they've reported tariff refunds in their earnings this quarter. We don't even know how to how to count them as income. The accounting doesn't even cover it, for God's sake. This quarter, after applying for repayments earlier this year, when President Trump's duties were struck down. While some companies explicitly said they used the extra cash to lower prices for consumers, other companies say they're deploying it to boost their margins. Duh. In other words, they're just taking it to bonus, or maybe dividend, who knows. The divergence may be due to retailers taking different paths to appealing to their core consumer or investors. So there you go. The idea that this guy did this, when everybody knew he didn't have the authority to do it, of course he takes it to his Supreme Court, and even they say you can't do it. So now the refunds come back, and the people are not getting the refunds that essentially you can say people are lowering the prices. What a bunch of crap. And now he's doing it again. and before this one gets shut down, we're going to go through this again. What is wrong with us as a country, for God's sake? How do you not say, what are you doing? Just me.
Well, I know, but he has enough base. They support anything he does.
Well, but there's,
you and I, we all know that.
I'm really stunned. I've learned more about Americans since he's been in office than I ever knew before. I mean, the thing this weekend regarding, and I know, you know, somebody's going to pile in and say, gee, you know, who's the lady who actually tried to do a, who knows if she's right or wrong, but we haven't really been reporting on it, because that's not what we do, but I've been reading about, you know, various people and all these elections. There's elections all over the damn place. There's governors and primaries, and he's supported some people and they've won, and he supported some people and they've lost. It's pretty obvious. I have no idea what the percentage is, but you know, I'd say maybe half. He's got 60% or 70. I don't know. But whoever his lady said, he wants the FCC to go after her because it was 100%. Everybody he supported won. Any American who listens to that, and of course we got the people's, oh, come on, it's just Trump. That's just the way he is. He's just a brutish idiot from New York, so he gets to act like that even though nobody else does. No, we're talking about a president essentially sigging law enforcement on somebody from telling the truth. First Amendment, you name it. And yet, why aren't we recoiling in horror? What has he done to...
You know, it's just horrible. Well, it is horrible. I saw the same article where he said he asked the FCC to. But this is what they call flooding the zone.
Yeah.
The more things they say, we become numb to it.
Well, what is, you have two young people that you've brought into this world, and by the way, they're both terrific. And
well, thank you. Thank you very much.
It's not just young people, but where does our generation, and maybe it started with our generation, to think that whatever their opinion is ought to be the thing? And as much as I sound opinionated, I don't feel that way at all. Because boy, if I was that smart, I'd know where we were in the cosmos. I'd know where we were going after we're gone. I'd know all that stuff. I don't know any of that stuff. So I never thought of myself as being all that bright. Because all you do is look at the stuff you don't know. But it's stunning to me. My brother has dinner every Sunday, and you know, it's a group of people. And we were talking about this the stuff with the college football. And to me, everything's the same subject to a lot of extent. You see about people, and I'm talking about, you know, this, because Saturday night, Audrey and I are out having some Thai chow at our favorite Thai place, and they got some crummy football game up there, and across the bottom of the thing it says, a federal judge essentially puts an injunction against the SEC for saying professional players can't come back if they get cut. Now, everybody in NFL got cut yesterday. Everybody didn't know that. Not everybody. Everybody didn't make the team. Can't come back and play football. And so who knows where that's going to go, if it's going to go higher. I mean, you know, it's just an injunction. And so I was mentioning that at dinner yesterday. You know, and one of my nephews can be very opinionated, which is fine. Says, well, they shouldn't be able to do that. And I go, okay, you know, what law are you quoting? What do you mean? I don't think they should be able to do that. And I'm like, you know, I should have said, who the hell are you, Mata Hari? I mean, who are you? Basically, we're talking about antitrust, we're talking about economics, we're talking about, you know, hundreds of years of having a free market. And it just kind of struck me that the free market that I want, nobody else wants. They want to make an opinion. Oh no, you can't have another hot dog stand. You're going to bother my hot dog stand. Yeah, but that's not what we are. I don't think a lot of people even kind of know what we are, and even have an idea of what competition means. It's not about whether you think somebody.
You know, Tom and Jim. You know, I've said this before. I think that we have been, you know, we have just taken it for granted as Americans because by and large, we didn't have anybody that really broke the, you know, not just the law, but the norms that you have out there. Not like this. We have been, you know, our political elite has by and large, you know, been pretty good. You know, I mean, we can go back to the turn of the century, and you know, and so we as Americans, we're not like some other countries, which, you know, people are taking the streets on a daily basis. because we've never had to.
Well, we might get there.
Now all of a sudden we have someone who doesn't go by the norms, and it's a power grab, and it's just to make money for himself. I mean, using the instruments of the state to go against political or perceived enemies. I mean, this is why I think this is part of the problem, is that, you know, we've never had this before. And they are smart.
Oh, yeah.
They are smart. Look at how they have used social media. The only good thing is that it's turning on itself. You saw where they deported for some reason this far right provocateur, Milo Yiannopoulos. I mispronounced his last name.
Who's that guy? I don't know who he is.
Oh, he's a real hard.
I know the name, but I don't.
He is all over YouTube, Instagram. He was a speaker at one of Trump's rallies. This guy is way out there.
Yeah, so he was, you know, we should have ice at the grocery stores. We should have.
Give me a second.
So forth and so on. But
the reason why I'm mad at all this stuff is not because I'm a total Luddite. Is when you're registered as much as I am, what about how many tests after my name? Any one of these things you're on, our compliance department here would have to follow everything I said. So I'm just not on them. It's not like I don't want to be on X or anything like that.
No. It's. But, you know, it is, but, you know, this is just an example. You know, Jimmy, what happened is that he started to align himself with the Tucker Carlson's and the Candace Owens faction of the far right. And Laura Loomer, you know, was pushing the, and he and Laura Loomer have had dust ups, you know, after dust up, calling each other pretty nasty names. So she claims that she got him deported. But, I mean, You would never see that, where an unofficial counselor to the president, who is known to be a nut job, you know, have influence on the deportation of somebody who theoretically overstayed his. He was on a celebrity visa, is what he was on. This has never happened before.
Even if you like some of the politics, and I'm not saying the guy's wrong on everything, he isn't. If you like some of the politics, things like that should really recoil you. But even, you know, even simple discussions we have about, you know, about football leagues and colleges and baseball leagues, you know, how many people in this country love the draft? And yet, how does somebody get to have a draft? Just because you love it doesn't make it okay. At least I'd say the NFL's down to 7 rounds, so you got that going for you. But baseball, how do you suck up every baseball player every year, and they can't go anywhere else? I mean, how do you? That's okay. So, you know, in lieu to his credit, is you know, he's our you know, we always joust back and forth because we come from two totally different ends of the world. He comes from the legal end. And Lou will admit that, you know, unions at some point, especially in the miners' union and stuff like that, their conditions were deplorable. And then they had collective bargaining. But my thought was, you know, what if the slaves had formed a union and had some kind of an agreement that said, well, you can only beat people on Saturday and Sunday? Okay, that's not exactly an arm's-length transaction, is it? I mean, if one side is so powerful versus the other side, even though there's an agreement, the agreement to me isn't necessarily fair. Now, Lou feels once you got an agreement, you got an agreement. You know, and okay then, I guess you do on the legal side of it, but on the economic and moral side of it, you don't. I mean, you know, the idea that the NFL collective bargaining people are going to try and put their arm over who can go back to college and who can come back in the NFL, in my opinion, that's not their job. I mean, Lou is saying that, okay, if somebody comes back to college after being in the pro, what we're talking about here is some of the schools,
conferences.
Schools. If a school did it, that's another fine line, though, right, James? If a school did it,
now lucky guys.
Oh no! If Notre Dame or Illinois said anybody who goes and signs for a pro team and they leave, we don't want them back. It upsets our program. Blah blah blah. I can understand that. Matter of fact, that I think is perfectly legal for 20 schools to get together and do that. Yeah. Now we're talking about a combination in restraint of trade, aren't we? If one person, I can say that I'm not going to hire people under 5'4". I better not put it in writing. But if all of a sudden every brokerage firm gets together and says we're not going to hire people under 5'4", now I think that's illegal, isn't it? I mean, as a matter of fact, I know it is.
It is.
So, I mean, so what happens here is the SEC got together, and the Big Ten evidently was doing the same thing. They're saying anybody who goes and signs for a pro team and gets cut or quits or doesn't like it, if they have eligibility left in college, they can't come back and play in college. And I'm like, what do you do, call the guy a pro? when he's been making money at college for 4 years or 3 years? I mean, there was an injunction, and Notre Dame came out, and Kevin was correct. They said, okay, we can't do it here because we're in a semester system. And by the way, people have been in class for a week. So if somebody gets cut by the Bears today, there's no way to get registered and be in class in time. They made it sound like it was a logistics problem. Now, whether it was or whether they just used that conveniently or not, I have no idea. But if you're on a quarter system, you don't start for another 3 weeks, James, or, you know, 2 weeks or whatever it is. You got plenty of time to get back in class, which, of course, brings up all kinds of other questions. What if I'm a junior at Notre Dame and I drafted or don't get drafted? Let's say I don't get drafted. I knock on the Bears' door and I try out. All right, and I'm cut yesterday. What if I actually registered for class and never left? And just show up?
Well, that's a good point, but you do have to declare for the draft. So in a sense...
Why can't you just...
Well, most kids do.
Okay, so what if they do?
Well, you're kind of telling the college, thank you, but I'm moving on.
Well, you're kind of telling them, but now you tried to go get the job at the next bigger law firm, and you didn't. Does that mean you can't go sign up for a small law firm?
Well, you can't go back to the law firm you went to.
You could. Why not? There's no law.
Well, yeah, no, there isn't a law, but why would I take someone who just told me, I'm done?
Well, no, one's a promotion, right? You think the Crestwood team, if a guy gets signed by the Cubs, and after 3 weeks the Cubs say the guy's not good enough, and Crestwood wouldn't take him back? Why wouldn't it?
I don't know. It's a different scenario. But, I mean, I know in most businesses, if someone was working for you and then said, hey, I'm leaving now, I'm going to another firm, this or that, and, you could go back and the other firm didn't work out, most businesses are like, I'm not going to take you back. It doesn't mean you can't get a job somewhere else.
Yeah, well, but that's what they're saying. You can't go anywhere. That's...
They're saying within that conference.
And I've only got another 10 minutes here, but there's something I read this article that I wanted to talk to you about, talk to both you guys about. It's an article in the BBC, and this is completely off subject here.
All right, BBC, what's it?
British Broadcasting
BBC.
Company.
Okay, all right. I thought you said DBC. Right. I thought you said DBC. You said BBC. Okay, I know what that is.
All right. And it's a very sobering article about 9/11. And the article, now, let me back up. My sister, who Tom knows very well, Jimmy's met, she's in the creative industry, and she's in Miami, Florida. And so she had one of her creatives, whatever they call these people, I mean, that are in advertising and all that stuff. And he was gay.
Would you call any of the people we hang around with the creatives?
Literally. No, we do not hang around with creatives by far. And so literally I think a day after 9/11, the FBI was on his doorstep because, he had met one of the hijackers at a gay bar.
Oh, God.
And so the story's always stuck with me. So anyways, this article goes on about, this is the San Diego connection. And it talks about the center of the story is the lady that was managing the apartment complex where, all of a sudden one guy shows up to be, quote-unquote, a mature student, Saudi Arabia. And, the whole point, I'll cut to the chase, the whole point, she brought all these people in, and then he had some friends that came in. Well, it turns out they were the hijackers, and it turns out this guy was the ringleader. They orchestrated everything. And basically, it's really, is there, you know, this, what is the Saudi connection? Is there a real Saudi intelligence connection?
Well, or 17 of the 20 were from Saudi, right?
That's, I thought there was 18. I don't know, but it was that type of ratio. But yeah. I would highly recommend everybody read this article. And, you know, the whole, you know, there's two points. One is, what in God's name was the connection there? They certainly know that he was Al-Qaeda, the mastermind, the first guy that comes in that befriended her, that, you know, invited her over for dinner all the time. I mean, so these people integrated in. They were the friendliest people around. Although it does say that, you know, he was very involved in the San Diego Muslim community. But the consensus in the Muslim community was that he was a Saudi spy. He was taking too many pictures and asking too many questions. So I would really, you know, I'll send it to you, Tom and Jim. But I really suggest you folks, I mean, that we read it, because it's just... The personal cost of this lady, she said, I trusted these people so much, and they ended up killing 3,000 people.
For a year,
I had them in. You know, and I knew their families, everything.
What part of we don't want to know don't you get?
Yeah.
Well, by the way, gentlemen, there were 19. 15 were from Saudi Arabia, 2 from the United Emirates, 1 from Egypt, 1 from Lebanon.
There you go. What about the fifth plane?
Yeah.
It was a fifth plane.
So what? 2 came into New York. 1 was in Pennsylvania that crashed. And 1 was in the Pentagon.
Well, as you struggle with your real ID on your driver's license, which is an amazing pain in the ass. I happen to get mine because I was getting my license anyway, and it made it easier when they sent you the thing in the mail. It's a royal pain in the ass to get your, quote, real ID. All comes from 9/11. You know how many of those people use their driver's license in this country? None. So why does everybody here have to go through this amazing pain in the ass to get the real ID? Yet somebody thought it up, right? But we don't...
I'm going to forward this article to... It's an excellent article.
I'm reasonably, when I say close to this story, not close to any of the hijackers, but my buddy John Najarian had just popped in this... There had been guys, okay, these Track Data. Track Data was an amazing system. It was way before its time. It was a quote system, but it allowed you to do... put formulas in there and actually do searches. First system that could do that. They also had, if you really wanted to learn options, which is very difficult to do now because I don't know if anybody has a machine like this, when you kick up a normal quote page, like an option quote page, it'll sit there and it'll say, you got your deltas, it's got your, you should have an interest rate on there or choose them. It should tell you what the formulas are. Well, they had 2 quote pages. One was live, okay, where they're changing all the time, like they all are now. But one was static. So when you kicked it up, everything froze. So you could see where the theoretical value of the option was versus where it was trading based on the variables. But you could change the variables. Anyway, they also had a search thing. And so some people would have they'd say, okay, back up a step. When I first started the business, the CBOE was like the only options people. Maybe Amex was still there. But you walked on the balcony, and any crowd that was loud, that's where the noise was, and you went towards it, right? But as more and more stocks starting to happen, to try and find out where there was action, if you wanted to do some spreads or whatever, or see something out of line, became harder and harder to do. So some people, Lee Tenzer was one of them, hired a guy named Scott Kilray, who I knew his dad from Pullman. Anyway, they started to program this to such a way where if the normal standard deviation in, say, I'll pick a number, J.P. Morgan was, you know, 1,000 contracts a day, and all of a sudden, if it, you know, which would be, you know, 60% of the time, it would be between 800 and 1,200, say. All of a sudden, one day, it was 2,000, one way or the other, calls or puts. This thing would flag it, so it would point you there. But you never really knew if it was a covered right. It's becoming too long of a story. Anyway, John developed a system where you could tell whether people were taking the offer or the bid. So, in other words, if there was some reason for them to do it if they actually cared. I mean, if you want to, if you really want to buy puts, if you get the word something's going down, you're just going to pay whatever you have to pay. If you know, if you don't, you could hang around on the bid all day and get some stuff, and I mean, the volume would go. Anyway, a lot of puts traded American Airlines the week before 9/11, like a boatload. Everybody
really,
everybody should remember this. And John had talked about it on the air. So all of a sudden, since he was on the air, the SEC is going nuts about, wait a minute, who are these people? Well, they weren't going nuts anywhere near enough, in my opinion. So they call one day, and they go, we're looking for John and Jerry. And I go, oh, he's not here. Then he used to hang around in our office. Well, who are you? Well, Tom Howe, I own the firm. Oh, okay. Well, we're calling about these put options. And I go, okay, well, what do you want to know? And the guy says, well, you know, we can't find out where they came from. And I said, hey, buddy, what are you talking about? And he says, what do you mean? I said, I own a brokerage firm. Every trade we do is for somebody. It's for somebody's account. The cash comes out of somebody's account, and the cash got into somebody's account by some bank that's senator. How the hell can't you find it? What's the matter with you? Well, you know, it's back. I said, I don't care where it went. Even if it's a CMTA, if it flips from one firm to the other, follow the money. There's no way you can hide a transaction at an exchange floor, for God's sake. All right, see you later, and it's like slam the phone down. They didn't want to find these people. I mean, nobody wants to know that the people all came, or most of them came from Saudi, when you're going to invade Afghanistan, right? Because people might say, gee, are there any Afghanis in this program? And the answer was no. Now, granted, some of those guys were hanging over there. But what are you doing? I mean, right? We invaded Iraq and Afghanistan after 9/11, and neither one of them had anything to do with it, did they?
Afghanistan was they were harboring.
Yeah, I'm not saying they were good people.
I think that, you know, nothing was going to stop us from going after him.
Okay, but the first question was, what about Saudi? Who are all these people? Were they backed by the Saudi government? We can't.
That was a, yeah. I mean, but that's been a, I mean, so there is a case pending in Saudi Arabia, claims, you know, it has sovereign immunity. So there is a case pending against the Saudi. So what they were really talking about in this article is, and I'm not any intelligence, I'm not some spy here, but I do read.
You travel all over the world.
Spy fiction.
Why aren't you a spy? But, you travel all over the world. You see, I love you.
I've said that. I've heard this various times. You know, so a lot of these spy agencies, I'll just say in the Middle East, they have different factions. As one former CIA guy said, you know, when you go to Pakistan, some of the ISI, which is their intelligence agency, they wear three-piece suits, you know, Savile Row suits, and their children go to school in London. And the other ones have beards down to their waist, okay, in hardcore Islamists. So there's always factions within these intelligence agencies. And so the article said, you know, I mean, now this is my spin on the article. Were there factions within the Saudi intelligence agency that kind of knew about what was going on? Or was the guy just Al-Qaeda? And they were Saudi Arabian, they were from Saudi. So anyway, so that's, I would just highly recommend the article. I just sent it to both of you guys. But it also talked about, you know, the impact on the people that befriended them, you know, brought them into their homes, had dinners with them, had barbecues with them outside and so forth. And they said that part, you know, was devastating. I mean, you know, talk about shaking your faith in humanity. Here's an individual who, you know, was coming over to your child's birthday party, and they helped kill 3,000 people. So that's part of it. Guys, I got to get going here. I apologize. Tom, hopefully I'll see you later on today.
Yep. All right. S&P futures down 16. NASDAQ futures down 55. Do we have Mr. Flanagan?
You do. Morning.
What's up, man?
Yeah, hey, John, I'm going to stay on later one of these days here, and I know that I can convert you into a Democrat. No, I can. No doubt.
At my advanced
talk
age,
to you later, John. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that hardening of the arteries thing. I know all about that. All right, talk to you later. Bye.
What, take care, Jeff.
Mr. Flanagan, what's up? How are you?
I'm good, Tom. How about you?
You know what? Not so bad. Not so bad. Anybody who's in the Chicago area, and, of course, we didn't get more tornadoes at people's houses. We had a lot of damage on the storm. Is it possible to even walk outside without being carried away by mosquitoes or what?
Oh, man. It's a bad year.
This shows you about how architecture, where Audrey lives, she's the highest spot on a block, right? But down when you head down, you go down like this, you know, it's not a big hill or anything, but you get on kind of a hill, and then there's a bottom, and then you work your way back up. There's kind of a water thing behind all of them. It used to be a lake, but it's not a floodplain or anything. So she's watching this little dog, right? And the dog looks like it's half dead. Until you put a leash on her, and she races down the block. she's like 17. She doesn't have any teeth or anything. But she's a little character. So we race down the block. The person who's at the bottom of the hill with all this rain, you just look at their grass, and you can see how it must have gone for like 3 weeks before you could even cut it. I mean, that's how much, God knows how much there's sump. It's a beautiful home. Walking past that place, the combat was hand-to-hand. I can't imagine how people live there. With all the standing water, like in their grass and stuff, the place, like, you can barely see through it with all the mosquitoes. Like, good Lord. As soon as winter happened, I'd be selling this place. That would just be me. What that has to do on Socks and Jacks, I have no idea, but, you know, it just...
Well, did you get your tax bill? Have you looked at the allotment for mosquito abatement?
This is how the world has changed. We're playing in grammar school football. Actually, one of my best friends married George Wendt's younger sister, so I'm pretty tight with the family because everybody's pretty close from all those times. And one of the brothers, Paulie, who's a terrific guy, he still coaches grammar school and high school football. If one of his nephews is playing, he coaches grammar school football. Well, anyway, he coaches Christ the King, and I'm going to go watch their big game against St. John Fisher, where I played for. Well, we used to practice in Monroe Park. You know, God knows how many centuries this was ago. So one night we're practicing, and the mosquito abatement truck comes down the alley and just spraying this crap all over the place. I mean, there's a huge fog on the field. You could barely see. And the coach is like, "Wow, we could stop practice, but are we men or are we mice? Let's just play right through it."
We're too proud to quit.
We're too proud to quit. I'm thinking, can you imagine that today? We're in the middle of the mosquito fog, and we're doing wind sprints. the world has changed in some ways for the better, I think. Don't you think?
Yeah, I remember as a kid, when in our neighborhood they'd come down the street, on the southeast side, and you could hear everybody on the block one after another shutting their windows and slamming them shut.
God, yes. Crazy. The news that's fit to print here, Jan Martin. Market continues to do well. What did you think of the Fed guy's speech on Friday? I thought it was actually refreshing in some areas, but I don't. Were you listening earlier? Can I ask you the question about the birds?
Oh, I have to ask somebody else.
Oh, there's four birds sitting on a limb, and three birds decide to fly off. How many birds are left?
I smell a trick question.
you are like the guy who likes to sniff at stuff. The answer is four. They decided to fly off. They didn't go anywhere yet.
Oh.
so when I
that's called close reading in English studies.
And so the current Federal Reserve Chairman, I think, is actually a pretty terrific pick. And he's the closest thing to a monetarist that I've seen in that job in a long time. So I'm kind of all for him. I don't know how the hell Trump picked him. I have no idea, but somehow he did. But I think he's afraid to do anything, Jen, because he's afraid to topple this apple cart, and people will be, shooting arrows at him, for God's sake. But somebody has to do something somewhere, but I don't think anybody wants to do it. I mean, we went through, $4 trillion? I'll look it up. We went through $4 trillion how much long ago? And where are we now? $4 trillion 80? Let me look and see. I mean, that's in 2 weeks, right? Jimmy sees I have a little stopwatch over here. I don't even use my phone. I have a real stopwatch. What was it, Jim? 21 or 22 seconds? $1 million? That's kind of quick. I mean, what is he gonna do? What if he says, "I'm not helping you guys anymore"? When I say that, when you spend outside of your means as a government, you can only do one of three things: you can borrow it, you can tax it, or you can print it. And I don't think anybody really wants. Well, I mean, you're not going to get Trump to tax it, or any of his people. Plus, I don't really want the taxes to go up. It's not like I'm above everybody on that one. I'm not. But, or you can borrow it, which is a problem because some of the places we borrow it from are kind of in deep doo-doo, like Japan. By the way, you know, our newest enemy, we're supposed to, you know, John, you know, we do owe Canada $490 billion. I don't know if you knew that or not. They've invested in us. So, was it a week ago Thursday? James, wasn't that all the news? We blew through $40 trillion?
Yes.
Well, we picked up $97 billion in the 8 days since then, 10 days since then. So it's not like the $40 trillion was where we can sit for a while, is it? We're going to be 41 in another 30, 44 days or something. Every 35 or 40 days now we do $1 trillion. I don't see... Go ahead, John.
Pretty unbelievable. I mean,
yeah. I mean,
is this what we can really call unprecedented? I think so.
Well, we have a president who, to the extent that he sees it, wants to go through his sneaky tariff tax by telling everybody in the country that other people are paying it. And I would hope there's one thing I hope people in this country can figure out is they're the ones that are paying it. Because look who the rebates are going to. They're not going to the people overseas, are they? They're going to Target, they're going to Nike, and none of that's coming back to you. So if everybody doesn't feel fleeced, I wonder why. I mean, John, I know you know, in your political views, you're very conservative, but don't you think that's kind of a goat bleep? I mean, what is that? That we're gonna I was on the camp to say, look, it was a bad idea. Trump shouldn't have done it. Congress should have reeled him in. The courts did. Okay, it's over now. I was in the camp, just let the dog die. Don't refund it at all. It's never going to get back to the people who spent it, so just keep it. I don't know if Walmart or Target deserved it. I'm just saying, I was in that camp. Let's not go down that road. Let's just, it's a bad idea. We did it for 6 months or a year. Money shouldn't have been paid, but just leave it alone. And I don't think I had anybody agreed with me on that. I don't know if either you guys did, But now, look, now we sent rebates out to everybody, and I'm still not getting it. So what's the difference? I'd rather the government have it than Target. Or is that just me?
Well, I still would have.
I'm saying, you know, I don't know what the rebate does for anybody, except, you know, give everybody a bigger bonus or maybe pay a dividend. I mean, nobody pays a dividend anymore. What do you make of all this? I mean, to me, it's crazy. By the way, last week I used the term bizarro world, as our late friend Bob Golden used to use, so... Who sends me a Bizarro World cartoon other than Wayne, right? God, it's hilarious. There's this like middle-aged lady sitting with this middle-aged guy, both with glasses on, at the bar, right? And the guy's got kind of a... It looked like he had like a flesh-colored... You know, it's a comic, see? It's not like a picture or anything. So the lady looks at him and says, "So how long have you been associated with Doctors Without Clothing?" The guy goes, for a while. So instead of, I'm saying, who would even think of something like that? What do you think? So how long have you been with Doctors Without Clothing? This old guy's sitting there naked. So you know what Bizarro World was, don't you? I didn't know that. Was it from Superman comic strip?
Yes.
It's the only planet in the universe that's square instead of round or something.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. So that's why it was Bizarro World.
Well, the Far Side was in that same vein.
Oh, yeah.
Barry Larson. Some of those were quite inspired, I thought.
What was the guy? I used to love Dilbert.
Oh, Scott Adams.
Yeah.
The late Scott Adams.
Did something, you know, he died, right, recently?
Yeah, yeah. He was documenting his final months as prostate cancer, I think. He was, you know, pretty amazing guy, really, I think.
I love the one where who was the guy? Was it Dilbert? One of the idiots what was the lady's name? Anyway, she goes, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I'm moving the boss's cubicle in by a 16th of an inch." And she goes, what are you doing that for? And he goes, I've done it every week for the last, like, 2 years. the next one, you see the boss squeezing in the thing. You know, was so gradually, he never even knew the difference.
Yeah, it's like the pendulum or something.
Yeah, God. So, Jan, we've got... How do you even... I'll say one thing about Trump is he keeps... Every day, you can't even focus on anything because every day there's a new issue, right? Our friend Wayne is writing a book on the Epstein stuff, and he sent me a couple of excerpts. And it has to do with all the money laundering part of it. And that's the part, maybe because, you know, I mean, Wayne and I are pretty tight, that, you know, as much as everybody focuses on, you know, who's messing around with the girls, and young boys, by the way, which is pretty darn disgusting, the money part seems to be multi-generational, doesn't it? And it's still going on, which is... Nobody seems to want to attack that on either side of the aisle, do they, or anybody in
there were a couple pieces I saw that, you know, the Epstein stuff was percolating years after this, you know, so-called suicide. I don't know exactly what happened there either. But
if you're going to make a book, what are the chances you think he committed suicide?
Nil, probably.
Not even zero. Not even 1% chance.
And probably just, you know, a fake whatever, too. You know, I just don't think it for whatever connections he had and who was threatened by them, he was more useful alive than dead to the people who, you know, wanted to continue to control him or be controlled by or whatever the exchange was. But it sounded more and more to me as I would, and I don't know how much of the coverage about him or his circle I trust anyway, but the blackmail, you know, sort of industry he had with, you know, his cameras in his house and everything else, it seems like it was some kind of an extortion ring to get their business for investments. And it was really because he didn't have any particular expertise in that area. But he wanted control, he wanted money, and God knows what he was doing with it too. But the blackmail ring was really not about international intelligence or, you know, geopolitics, but it was about getting dirt on people who would then, you know, buy his silence by investing their money with him. So this is even more crass and, you know, dull.
Well, the amount of layers to the onion, you just brought up a part that I actually had forgotten all about, because who's the guy, James, who's the dude in Ohio who owns Victoria's Secret?
Wexner.
Yeah, well, he ended up essentially weaseling his way into where he was managing, like, all that guy's dough, wasn't he? So there was this...
Yeah.
But there's...
He had a general power of attorney for all of his business.
And there's the girl's piece, just the guy being a pervert. And the one lady said he had what? In his hot tub in New York, somebody had installed essentially fake ladies' breasts. So if you're sitting there in a hot tub, you can reach over and fondle a breast. I mean, that wouldn't be exactly the first thing I'd want to do in a hot tub, but how would you even think of such? Anyway, there was that side to him, you know, the pervert. Then there was somehow managing money, like you say, quasi-legitimately, regularly, which is where didn't he originally work for, was it Solomon Brothers, one of those places? And he also got in with the guy who's the Treasury's, see, the Attorney General under, was it Trump or Bush?
William Barr.
Yeah, his dad ran the school. Yeah. And then somehow he got a job there, not even knowing math, to be a math teacher. Anyway. But there was all that piece. But then he also was the successor to Maxwell's father's, essentially, I won't use the term money laundering, or international funding operation that he seemed to be a part of, where we can get you money that other people can't. And that's why I think guys like Lutnick hung around him. Because, even, you know, Lutnick is, I'm no fan of the guy. But even he, if he had five places to go for lunch, I think wouldn't necessarily go to a registered sex offender for lunch if he wasn't there for another reason. I mean, I don't think he's that much of a pervert. He could be, but I doubt it, especially if he went with his family. You know, then again, sometimes these people surprise me. But even though, I don't think you tell your wife and kids you're going to the bathroom and do something while you're in the bathroom. But So, but he was there for what reason? Because Cantor Fitzgerald was a international, they're an international firm. I mean, they're huge. And they probably get requests from some clients. How do I get money where I'm not supposed to get it? And, you know, I don't think Cantor Fitzgerald does that. I mean, maybe they do, but I hope they don't. But he probably knows, I got a guy, you know. Sort of like me in Chicago, where guys know guys, right? Yep. And so it seems like there's about six different levels to this, isn't there? And, and we're not going to... John Lee mentioned the part about the Saudis. We never chased that down. I mentioned the part about, you know, because I talked to one of the guys at the FCC for 2 minutes. We never really chased the puts down, did we?
No.
And by the way, we never chased the puts. Yeah, what about the puts that traded on the Israeli stock exchange right before?
In the Gaza.
Yeah, in the Gaza thing. Did anybody ever chase those people down? I don't know. Maybe they did. I
mean, somebody knew when it was happening. Yeah. All about it, you know. But the investigations, whatever investigation there was, it stopped short of any disclosures to the general public.
So this if anything, and that's why, you know, and some of the Democrats will say, you know, and John Lee, by the way, is one of them. I'll talk about him when he's not here. Don't want, you know, how this Fauci thing and this COVID thing, with all the mistakes that were made by both Trump, Biden, Democratic governors, Republican governors, why can't we get one guy from each side of the aisle that is above reproach? Oh, okay, who do you find on either side that's above reproach? Let's say we could. Why don't we got, someday we have to take one of these things and drive it all the way around the bases, I think. I don't know, is that just me being a Southside son of a policeman or what? Someplace, somewhere, we need to know, not to put Fauci on the cross or anything like that, what was the influence of the drug companies? What was the influence of this? Were the Chinese involved? An awful lot of people died here. Maybe this is the one time we. I mean, I'm not interested in reopening Alcatraz and throwing Fauci in it. But the point being, someplace, somewhere, don't we? We never even drove around Contra all the way, did we? We never seemed to get to the point where we find the guys that did all the dirty deeds.
No, or the SNL crisis.
Yeah.
Or,
a few people went to jail there.
But the real players have remained shielded, protected.
Well, we threw Keating in jail, but we never actually went after Silverado with Bush's kid there and supposedly the big CIA front and all that. We never went down that road, did we?
No.
I mean, at some point, I think you need to, or you get this. And I really believe this, John. More young people I talk to, and they feel they, at least you and I can spout stories about, here's a specific spot where we didn't do this. Here's a specific spot where we didn't do that. We didn't follow it all the way. And if you do it every single one of these crises, you can't do anything else, right? So you can't just do every single one. But once in a while, I think you got to drive one home. Young people are like, it's never going to happen. Everybody should do whatever the hell they damn well please. And that's, I'm not so sure I don't understand where they're coming from. I hope, I'm sorry that's where they're coming from, but what can I do about it? You know, what's everybody does?
You know, now that it's 25 years on from 9/11, and looking back, my whole thinking about it has evolved, since the day I watched it happen. I happened to be home from school. I wasn't teaching that day, so I saw pretty much whatever coverage they wanted us to see. I saw over and over again, but then trying to piece everything together and have it make sense. And I haven't read this BBC piece that John referred to, but I've got it bookmarked, so I'll look at it later. In trying to make sense of it, you have to kind of look at what was enabled by it and what's become institutionalized because of it. If you were born after 9/11, I think your view of the world is quite different from people like you and I who were, aware of what the world was like before there was a surveillance state like 9/11 helped fuel. And just our access to, in moving around, you are now barred really from just going into an office building anywhere in the world, pretty much, without surrendering an ID and, signing a statement, being surveilled all over the place, every elevator, everything. And the Patriot Act and things that people just were in a great hurry to and act as kind of penance for what must have caused 9/11. And just like you said with the real ID, that hasn't prevented any 9/11s because nobody used a real ID type of thing to begin with. So
didn't every single one of them use a passport to get in, right?
No point in enacting any of that stuff. So the payback in, you know, TSA payrolls and you know, the discomfort of flight travel, which was already pretty uncomfortable, and everything else that touches your everyday life and makes you, you know, ever more subservient to a surveillance state. I can put 9/11 and COVID sort of alongside of each other if you measure what their aftermath was and how people's thinking was altered by these events. And that makes, of course, them look much more nefarious to me, that was the design all along, among other things, too. But at least what you can see in the blowback from it and how people's attitudes and behaviors are changed and their susceptibilities have been exposed. Nobody was really tracking too carefully at the time after 9/11 and the days following it, that the air, you know, travel suspension was lifted to let the Bin Laden family get out of this country. So what was that all about? Would the Bin Ladens kind of did this in any way? It was done so quietly that I have to think that they knew there'd be a tremendous outcry against letting this happen. It would make it look like it truly was an inside job. But, you know, that kind of stuff makes I think, if people really spend some time thinking about it, they realize they've been, you know,
sugared. What do you think would happen? And, you know, assessment, because I know how young people would feel about it. I know how other air travelers would feel. What do you think would happen if tomorrow we just said, you know, screw the TSA, you just go. I mean, you just get on a plane like you used to be able to, or board a trade building, you know, just get on the elevator and go.
I'm sure that right away would be some episode that would be engineered to say, oh, how foolish that, you know, moment was that we ever thought we could live without these controls again, and we'd be right back where we were or worse.
What's the number? I mean, we make these decisions all the time. I mean, we have how many people, you know, are crack-ups on the expressway every week, and yet we don't enforce any speed laws. So there's always a formula that people use, okay? I used to read this stuff. I don't anymore, thank God. There's a formula. I mean, I think if you had a speed limit of 10 miles an hour and enforced it, you'd never have a traffic fatality, right? Maybe 20 miles an hour. You'd rarely have a traffic fatality unless somebody was laying on the road. Now, you have 70 miles an hour and people drive 100 and you don't enforce it. Now, there's a price to be paid there in terms of deaths. And the formula is, or always used to be, as scary as it is if everybody drove 10 miles an hour instead of 60 or 70, that the amount of time wasted would be X number of lifetimes. And if you lose X number of people, if it's less than the amount of lifetimes, it's okay, unless you're one of the people, right, or somebody in your family or somebody you know, which is pretty insane calculation. We have how many thousand TSA people? So what if one plane a year went down? Using the same logic, I think you're way ahead, aren't you?
Yeah.
Now, like, take the building, James and I, once in a while, we'll head over to the series, in the Board of Trade building. It used to be a wide-open building. Now, you got to go to the second floor to get on an elevator, show ID, call up.
Visitor's pass.
Yeah, you can't get me to get an office in that building. I would no more do that than a man in the moon. And yet, when we leave at night, we have a couple of cocktails going on a Thursday night, try and find some other traders. When we leave, there's probably four or five people standing there of various ages. Most are African-American, but not all. Not that that makes any difference. And they all look like they're young people, older people that have a brain cell working. They're always there. They're always polite. What the hell kind of job is that? For five people to be standing in the lobby of a building standing there, how do you not die of boredom? I mean, how many people are in buildings like that all over the city instead of having, I use the term, a real job? It is a real job. They have to show up and they have to do their whatever, and they're pleasant and they always look good. But what are we doing?
Well, I'd rather they were out of the police force.
Well, no kidding. Or working in a factory or an office or doing something. I mean, talk about a useless, not for them, okay? And I, by the way, I like all these people, Jimmy, and I know half of them. But it's useless. I'm not talking about, you know, one security place in the middle where people can answer questions about where this office is. There's nothing wrong with that. We're talking about every door manned by somebody. For what? I mean, how many people do you think, you know, we're doing? And if every building isn't like that, our building isn't like that. When they spend, how many $1 million did they spend, James, on the Federal Reserve building hardening after 9/11? To where the street was closed down, if a truck came
there's
in.
There's concrete barriers all
yeah,
over.
Yeah, oh, yeah. They x-ray. Yeah. Well, they don't do anything for the place across the street.
No.
So if you can't protect everybody, how do you protect anybody? We pick and choose who we're protecting? What is that doing? Okay, you can't get on an airplane, but oh, by the way, you get on an Amtrak train or you get on a bus. Okay, well, how insane is that? Plus, in a plane, if somebody blows it up, they got to blow themselves up, too. So you would think that that many people are like the guys at 9/11 that are going to be, how many virgins they're going to go get or whatever. I mean, not many people are want to make a point where they go down, too, right?
I mean, you are offered some, you know, activated Manchurian candidate, brainwashed person who doesn't know he's committing suicide or she's committing suicide.
But I was on the board of the SIBO, and we had a couple of companies that came in and gave us our security rundown, right? talk about a circle bleep. These guys come in, and Jan, James, they are so good at what they do. And it's their job. It's their job, man. They're so good at what they do, they come in and they go, you guys are really, really, you know, I can't believe you've been living like this. Everybody's like, okay, where's this one going? And they start laying the guilt trip on you. Well, you know, when at the end of the day, people just, there was a, if you had an office like we always did, you wore your trading coat back to your office, and you kept it in your office, and every week you had two of them. You'd throw it in there, and you'd launder that one. You get a clean one, thank God. Well, if you didn't have an office, there was a cloakroom downstairs, and everybody just winged their jacket with their badges and stuff on the counter, and the people in there were terrific. They'd hang it up on everybody's hanger, and the next morning the guy'd come in, and they'd hand him their coat. Never a problem. All of a sudden, oh, man, do you have any idea how somebody could go grab somebody's coat and come in the next day and be the wrong guy? Well, I guess somebody could do that. I guess you could go into somebody's office and do it, too, but... I mean, nobody even thought of that. And, you know, you guys don't have any of these concrete barriers in the front of the place. You know, somebody could drive right through the lobby. Why would anybody want to do that? Besides, there's nothing in the lobby. Oh, man, you can't have that. By the time they're down with this list, you feel like you're naked. And nothing ever happened. And all of a sudden, you're doing all this stuff. And all of a sudden, you feel like, if I don't pay for this, God, plus once it's down on paper, where you had a study that said this is how weak you were if something ever did happen, then of course, you know, some of the old farts that are on the board, which now you were now younger than me, but they go, all of a sudden you get an executive session, they go, man, we can't, whatever it is, we got to pay it. We can't have this report sitting here and then not do it, and all of a sudden something happens and somebody gets hold of this report. God, Lord, we're all going to get sued personally and stuff. It's an amazing game these guys play. Guess what? We pretty much did everything on the list. And I tell you what, John, Jim, they were good at it. And do we really need the concrete things out of the Siebel sold the building? I don't know. I think not. But where do you go with this? Remember the, James, you remember this. How many years ago was this? Where they had the big fight in the game after the Dodgers and the Giants? Opening day. Remember this? Did the one fight and the one guy got whacked by somebody and died? And somebody got hold of a security assessment the year before or something that said they needed, like, pick a number, 24 security people after the game, like in the parking lots. And the next year they said, well, nothing ever happened. We cut down to 22. Didn't the Dodgers have to pay out on that? I think they did. Oh, man.
I think they did, too.
Yeah. These guys, they're good at this. So the idea of somebody saying, you know what, this country, we haven't had a plane go down in 40 years. We don't need the TSA giving cavity searches to 80-year-old people. I mean, we don't need that. Can you imagine somebody trying to do that?
And you would come back in spades. Oh, yes, you do need it.
Oh, yeah. Or, God help you, if something happens. And I'm not going to say the security firms would kill people, but they would sure hope for a plane to go down, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
There's something
You mentioned the police, you can't enforce speed limits. Look how that is just a complete reverse of this 9/11 influence mentality about public safety. You let everybody drive at any speed limit they want, and 100 becomes the norm on the interstates running from Chicago. Now it's been institutionalized. The police have protocols where they can't pursue people, on the city street above a certain speed limit. They just let the person go. So, and if it, God help us, if the police hit somebody making even not a very high speed pursuit, that lawsuit against the city is going to just add it to the list of the millions the taxpayers have paid out for bad behavior of all different kinds on the part of the police. So there's an economic and a legal kind of barrier to having enforcement of even our traffic laws. So do you think people really believe this stuff about air travel and building security as being uppermost and paramount, and what would pay any price, bear any burden to continue this, while the rest of our lives are spinning out of control?
What percentage of your rent at the Board of Trade goes for that? It's got to be 20%.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No wonder these buildings can't make it.
Yeah. In suburbs, you don't see people doing it. You just get in, up you go. How do you... But, you talk about... I talk about it more than I should, because to me it's all, everything's the same subject, John, and maybe it's because I've been doing the show so damn long. When you talk about the reason why you shouldn't chase anybody, I actually happen to agree with that, because if your police department was proper, okay, and I don't think they are, because I don't think they're all, I don't know what they're doing, but of course they have the events like the other night where everybody is sort of all hands on deck when people are shooting at people. So I'm not criticizing him that much, but my uncle was a county policeman. I remember this because he came home one day, and I couldn't have been 6 or 7. He had this incredible car. He had a 57 Olds fire engine red convertible with 3 deuces on the thing. Talk about fast, right? Well, it turns out he's in his county squad car, and comes over the radio, armed robbery, blah blah blah. Suspect in red Oldsmobile convertible. He looks out the window and the guy flies by, right? So he pulls out in his Ford 6-cylinder and he's like, "I'm not gonna catch this dude." So he radios ahead. Sure enough, a mile down, 2 other guys got him pulled over. If you had enough policemen out and around like we used to have, there's no reason for somebody to become a bounty or whatever. I was going to say the guys from Miami Vice and go flying 100 miles an hour. You have people helping you. Like, no car is faster than a radio. If you know 2 other guys are a mile away, pull this guy over. If they pull him over, you don't have to. Right? I mean, if you're coordinated, you don't need one squad car flying down a city street 100 miles an hour chasing a guy. I'm not so sure I don't agree with that. Don't you?
Well, I don't know if they should be going 100 miles an hour. But I mean, even pursuing somebody and going through a stoplight in order to, continue the pursuit, is likely to end up in a lawsuit somewhere, sometime. That's going to put the kibosh on doing even that.
Well, there's a judgment call, and you're an attorney. You know what you're talking about. There's a judgment call that the policeman has to make if it's a question of going through one red light and getting this guy in the next block. I'm going to do it. If the dude looks like he's in a movie, I can't be chasing this guy at 100 miles an hour down Fullerton. So that's when you radio ahead, and there ought to be somebody there to help you. I mean, there's a judgment line there, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, and it's unfortunately, we have to make that judgment call how many times a day, while the people going 100 miles an hour don't enter into this calculus at all.
Well, I mean, I always thought
they're just exempt from any kind of, you know, they don't pay any price for it whatsoever. That to me is like, if you really thought this were the kind of behavior that's dangerous enough to have laws against it, but you don't ever feel any need to enforce those laws, then you start to disbelieve in the laws or the system of the laws. And you got the opposite of that with the 9/11 blowback and the COVID blowback. That, you know, whatever threat there was, the response to it has been so draconian and painful and costly that it can't be justified, but we still do it, you know. And
if you wanted to do what you're saying, it would be relatively easy. I drive these expressways all the time. Put some schlump like me in my truck with a serious camera in the front that also had a radar detection on it, and I'll drive down the Ryan at 65 or 70, and if somebody blows by me at 100, we now got him on the gun and we got him on film, we got the license number. I should radio ahead. There should be a couple of guys in regular police cars a mile ahead of me, and they pull the guy over. I don't chase him. I just pull up behind him and say, here's what I have. They pull him over. You could do this, and I believe, as dumb as some of our population, if you did that for a weekend and all of a sudden 100 people got their cars impounded, the word would get out pretty fast, I think. This is not that difficult. It's not about having one guy chasing somebody a million miles an hour. We know what we're doing. We're trying to get people going over 90. Somebody blows by me over 90. I got it all clocked in on my machine. The two guys ahead of them pull them over, and guess what? Your car's impounded. What bus line do you want us to drop you at? You know what? I would say we could solve this problem in 3 weeks. What do you think?
Well, if it were a carjacked car that was breaking the law, you know, sending a ticket to them from a camera isn't going to do
it. I'm not talking about a camera. I'm talking about them passing me. I have a full video, and we have two regular squads a mile ahead of me, and they pull them over.
Oh, yeah, but, I mean, as far as enforcing... we should be able to do it with cameras, because there's enough cars driving on the Dan Ryan and Kennedy that are not carjacked and have the legitimate owner and the car registration for it in the glove box.
I'm not ticketed them into oblivion. I'm not into camera enforcement. I think you should be able to.
But they're doing it to me, Tom. I got one the other day for going 1 mile over the park speed limit, which isn't marked by any signs on Foster Avenue. Just west of Pulaski. You know, I'm a law-abiding guy.
But you're law-abiding, you wouldn't have got the ticket.
The $35 ticket, but they can enforce those, you know.
I don't know how they can do that. They do it because it's a park.
And I'd say, go ahead and keep enforcing it, but for Christ's sake, give the tickets to the people who are going hunting them.
Well, I was all pissed off because I went through a right turn on red, 87th and Kedzie. It was like $100, though. And I they got you on film. It's right there. You got the camera. And I went up, and it was a red, and I think I actually stopped, but I might have been rolling at one. I essentially didn't come to a full stop before the right turn on red. So, I mean, I probably was doing 2 miles an hour. So could I have gone to the court and say I stopped totally? No. The answer is no. But, you know, so I'm not really big. If you go online, you can go on just about any street and find out where those little traps are. The difference is with the park thing, I thought it was you had to be 5 miles over. It's very little bit over. I mean, it's not like
I think I was going 6 to 10 over.
Yeah.
But the speed limit in that street is reduced at that stretch. So, and it's not posted that there's anything enforced.
I'll bet you find it is.
No.
If you drive down
111th, I went back and looked. I didn't see it.
If you drive down 111th, when you get to Mount Greenwood Park, there's one there, and a block before it'll say, you know, park radar camera enforced by park. If you go online, you'll find you know, the street that's got a bunch of them is Ashland, because there's a bunch of parks on Ashland. It'll show you every spot where they are in the city.
Well, this stretches on Lawrence Avenue apparently where this is enforced, but the park is a block away. It's not visible.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Well, that's.
It's just deceptive, and they also these cameras are placed in areas where they figure, well, the return on these tickets is worth.
John, you know how much safer it is to pull to send you that ticket in the mail than for somebody to pull over some car with blackened out windows and God knows what on the Ryan. Who knows what you got in there? Who wants to pull that car over? Nobody.
The cops don't want to do minimal.
Well, I mean, once in a while I see a cop, a single cop in a car.
I just think that's a brave cop.
You're out of your damn mind. You should pull that guy over and wait for two other people to pull up. I mean, you're crazy to walk up to blackened down windows cars and ask the guy to roll it down. Who knows what? You could run into a shotgun, for God's sake. Anyway, we had the Fed chairman talk. We've got the market rallying. We're only down 14. We're only down 23 in the NASDAQ because, you know, we keep buying the dip. If you look out a year or two, what do you see here, John?
Well, the national debt will be bigger. The country will be more divided. People are going to have less money, you know, to spend on stuff. I think, you know, I don't believe the CPI numbers at all, just from my standpoint, looking at my grocery receipts. You know, I buy the same stuff pretty much all the time, and it continues to go up. It hasn't stabilized that I can see. So I'm, you know, maybe I'm just shopping on the wrong stores.
One of these days, if I if ever felt like I had the time, or want to even look at it. I actually did some stuff on Friday. Why do this to myself? I don't know. But I was looking at the CPI number and you know, going through that, and the two parts in there that I think are, there's a lot in there they're probably cheating on, but the ones that I really think they're cheating on are the hospitalization. They're cheating there because they say it's 6.5% of your basket, and it's really 20, right? Because it's 20% of the... By the way, I know somebody who just... I always talk about this Eliquis because I have a couple of friends that are in it. If you buy it here, I think it's about $10 a pill. I think the full... You got to take two a day, so that's, what, $600 a year? I think the full treatment here is about $6,500, and insurance probably pays half if you're on Medicare. Same guy. Buddy has taught him about this place in Canada, and they shipped it from the UK. 3 months, $85. Instead of, what would it be, $1,500? How is it that anybody here, we can fight all we want, right versus left, over who pays it? How can anybody pay it? And these companies that are making this kind of dough, what are we doing here? Anyway, we looked at the housing prices from December 2000 to July 2026. They got housing prices up 119%. Okay, that's the owner's equivalent rent number. If you put those in there, the Federal Reserve will actually give you every line of the CPI going back. So if you say you just want to isolate a line, they'll isolate the line for you, which is pretty nice. So you go back on that. Yet so the owner's equivalent rent, they got up 119%. However, the actual price of housing, the median price of housing, is up 145%. All right, so... They're not right there, are they? And if you look at the price of insurance, I think I've got the price of insurance is like 2.5 times. So that's up a bunch. I think taxes are up. Well, Maria Pappas said in Illinois, for 20 years, the tax increases have exceeded the price of inflation. Right, so... You've got three components to that, right? It's insurance. Are taxes even a part of it? Maybe they aren't. They ought to be. If it's taxes, the housing price itself, interest rates are probably about the same as they were in 2000. I'm not sure about that. James, am I right about that? 6.5 or so in 2000? Boy, I don't know. It was a while ago.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
It's kind of... So we're really talking about that number is undersubscribed by probably 25 or 30%. Easy, maybe more like 40%. Any kind of cost of home repair, good Lord. I was going to say, since I do a lot of stuff around my place, I could go back in my emails, because I just get my stuff from Home Depot. What do you think, if I went back 15, 20 years, the price of caulk, the price of nails, price of 2x4s, I think they're all tripled.
Oh, yep. Maybe, and that's why there can't be any more time a thing like an affordable starter home.
No. And the idea, I mean,
it would be possible to build a bare bones, or you know, the equivalent of a bare bones home, but it would be, you know, three times as expensive as it was to build a home like that 20 years ago.
Well, that's why when you have, you know, I won't say buffoon politicians, even though I guess I just did. You'll see people come on the air, and they'll say, "Hey, we've got we want to build affordable housing." All right, which means now that economically, that tells you two things: that the supply of housing, which means the supply curve, there's not enough there. We got all of a sudden we brought back, you know, 100,000 people from World War II. They're all looking for a house. We don't have enough. Okay, so the price of a house is 20 grand. And it ought to be 15. Implied in there, from what they just said, and Mr. Lawler's our mortgage guy, implied in there is that you can build a new house for, say, 12. And because of the supply constraints and all of a sudden the increase in demand, the prices, the market prices now are higher than they, quote, ought to be. But does anybody know anybody whose house trades for less than replacement value, even though they're up huge over the last several years? I don't think so. I mean, I look at, you know, the stuff in Orland, you know, I mean, some of our friends, I go to their houses a lot, and I'm going to say the market price is way higher than it was a few years ago. Let's say somebody's got one that's worth, you know, $450. I don't think you'd build that thing for $450 today. Implied in some politicians saying that is, gee, if we just got the money, we could build a bunch of these for $250, because the shortage has it trading $450 when it should be $250. That's not true at all, is it?
No, no, and there's no affordable fixer-uppers either, because the cost of fixing it up makes it an unaffordable project.
My buddy Rob Rugai, who's a developer, and he's a good guy. He played quarterback for Mount Carmel, I believe, and then Eastern Illinois. And he says, "Tommy, let me tell you one thing: a sheet of plasterboard costs the same amount in a $1 million house as it does in a $50,000 house. Don't be remodeling a $50,000 house." I mean, duh. I mean, little stuff like that is like, you know, when we talk, you can't be doing that. I mean, we have some people that are helping Odd out. Their house is, you know, let's say it's 20 years old. Well, it's a point where, you know, all the soffits and all that stuff need to be sanded down, you know, any wood putty if you need it, any kind of hornet spots that they may have found their way in, you get rid of them. It's a big job. It's a pretty good-sized place. God, John, I'll bet by the time it's over, you know, I do all the running. That's what boyfriends are good for. I do all the running, and I'm going to say she's going to be at least $1,000 in caulk, wood putty, and sandpaper. At least, maybe $1,500. That's before you get into the paint, which is $65 a gallon or something. I mean, it's unbelievable. And I bought these. I wanted to have good outside lights in case, you know, the coyotes or anybody make it to the back, let alone a two-legged person. I bought the simple outlets with just the spotlight holders. They were $20 plus the extra third one, which I wanted in there, was $8. I'll bet if I went back 15 years, that was $12 max, maybe 10. Not even close. I don't know how you build a place.
Well, we had our garage resided here, you know, 2 years ago. And I think, you know, the garage is built in 54 or something. It's still a good garage. But for what we paid to have the thing resided, we could have built two garages 20 years ago.
Yeah. It's not even... Well, let's go to break, and I believe we have Nancy today. We're going to break a little early here, Matt. SP Futures up down 22, and NASDAQ is down 71, because we want to give Nancy and John a chance to chat, and I can... rest while they talk, and James can pile in. He's a mortgage man as well. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know, that's what you pay me for.
Hello, North Bay Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tim Howe. We have Matt Byrne on the board, Jim Lawler in studio, John Flanagan on the line, and I think we probably should have Nancy on the line in a second here. SP Futures, again, down 23. NASDAQ Futures down 73. We were down a lot more, but we're buying the dip here a little bit. Stock Futures fall after U.S. strikes Iran. Wall Street heads for a winning month. There you go. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX down 157.6%. FTSE, however, up 31.3%. CAC around up a little bit, too, up 20.2%. So mixed bag over in Europe. Over in Asia, we got the Nikkei down 93.1%, so not much. Hang Seng down 17, maybe even 0.1%, not much. Shanghai were up 34, that's almost 0.9%. So again, Hong Kong and Shanghai are kind of going different directions, which is, again, pretty much unusual, but it's been kind of lately. 10-year, 4.74, 0.02. So I think we're right about where we were when Bessent went out and did the stuff with the bought the 10-year. So whatever he did there, I don't know that it's lasted all that much. And the 30-year is up to 5.24. So it's whatever he did, he's going to have to do it again maybe. Oil up 270, 86.10. We've got RBOB is actually down a penny at 347, but I think just about everybody's over 4. I paid 4.17. The city this morning, I noticed it was 5.19. You got to love that. Gold has been on a tear, but now it's down 27 bucks today, 45.02. Silver up is up 19 cents, 67.18. Silver's continued to rally a little bit, even though gold's come down the last couple days. Foreign exchange, euro 115.9, call it 116. That's kind of where it's been. Pound 135. Japanese yen 159.77. So they're right hugging the 160 number where they somewhat panic. Crypto down 781, but still 78,075. Matt, what do you got for us, Trevi Weather Sports?
Yeah, good morning, everyone. It's currently 7:33 a.m. on August 31st, 2026. Let's look at weather real quick. 72 degrees outside right now. Scattered showers this morning with some rain passing through the Chicago area right now. It's going to be heavy around the north side, looking more towards Evanston. Humid today with a high of 87. Tonight, chance of thunderstorms and a low of 75. Let's look at sports now. Yesterday, for Chicago's MLB teams, Cubs lost against Reds 7-5. White Sox won against Twins 5-1. White Sox are 72 wins to 64 losses this season, and Cubs are 77 to 60 this season. Tonight, Sox versus Astros and Cubs versus Brewers. Let's look at NFL real quick. Last week of the preseason, on Saturday, Bears won against Titans 24-15. Bears will be back on Saturday. Bears will be back on Sunday, September 13th, for their first game of the season with the Panthers. So I got Chief, back to you.
Do we have Nance?
We do indeed.
Yes, yeah. We do.
How are you?
Morning, good, Nance. How are you? Good morning, John. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Nance, I didn't see you this weekend. Could have come with us over to the Thai place.
Oh, well, I wasn't invited, Tom.
Hey, you know what? Talk about a piece of good news. There's this Thai place on 159th Street, and it's family-owned, and food's very good, and the people are very pleasant. God, we've got to know them through the years. And one of the lovely young waitresses came out, and she said the other one, who was there, you don't know anybody's name, she went to Moraine Valley, I think, for 2 years. This is right out of Kevin's playbook. And now she went to Purdue, but I don't think she's going to be taking any classes from Larissa. She's going for biophysics? For God's sake, what is that?
Well, I have no idea.
Is that, John, it's over my pay grade. What the hell is biophysics?
Well, I gotta believe it's it's over my pay grade too.
Good for her. Most pleasant young lady, and they're somehow related to the lady who owns the place. But I mean, just pleasant as all get out. I knew she was going to Moraine, and I had no idea she was in something like that, or even Moraine taught that, for God's sake. So she's gonna go to 2 years at Purdue, and God, wish her all the luck. Wish her all the luck. There's some people that are making some stuff happen, and they really are. And a lot of these young kids really are. I just hope that they enter something where they not only can help some people out, but make a few bucks along the way, and the guys up top just don't make all the dough. But is that being too creepy?
Okay, it combines biology and physics. How does the heart pump through, and how the blood flows through the arteries, how electrical signals travel through the heart, brain, and nerves, how the muscles and joints create movement. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well,
like I said, it's above our pay grade. She just seemed like a regular, pleasant girl. And she's this genius behind the scenes. I go, whoa. Just, you never know, Nance. You never know.
Well, you don't, because I had I went for a manicure, and I was talking to the girl, and I said, well, how did you get to this, how did you get to the U.S.? And she said, well, I came over on a student visa, and surprising, okay. And she said, after that, she never left. And I said, well, so her story is she went to school in China. They don't start kindergarten there till they're 8.
Really?
Years old. Yeah. And then she said she went to a private school in that teachers in Canada teach in China. And then you get to go to the U.S. And she was supposed to go to some school in Canada, but her visa didn't go through, so she wound up at Purdue. She got a 4-year college degree and a master's. And I said, why are you doing this? And she goes, well, this is how I paid for my way through college.
So she's got a real job. What she does is to pay off her loan?
No, she just does nails. But she never used the degrees. She just... she graduated from here, and by the time she had to go back, they let her stay, and now she just does nails. And I'm like, you have a... I said, how in the world... You spent all this money getting a master's in a 4-year degree at Purdue, which is not cheap. And she goes, Chinese parents are very devoted to their children. And she says, you got to remember, there's only one child.
Well, maybe she got her degree in English, then went to law school. Ooh, oops!
No, I mean, I was just shocked. I was shocked.
How much was how much were the nails? $1,000?
No, that's what I said. I said, wait a minute, what is this costing me? And I thought it was just hilarious. I mean, I just couldn't believe my ears. And she said, no matter what you have done, the nails are like $50. And I'm like, what? I mean, I was just shocked out of my head that somebody would spend all that money.
What was her degree, did she say?
But
master's degree's got to be worth something somewhere.
God, I think it was in chemistry. I think it was in chemistry or biology.
Wow.
I mean, it was crazy. She spent 5 years at Purdue. 5 years at Purdue, four and then
a
master's.
Well, John, if you get a degree in biology, what exactly do you do? If you're not a doctor and you don't teach, what do you do?
Well, you could probably become a pharmacist or researcher, work for a lab, you know, in the health industry. You probably, you know, work at a doctor's office. You know, there's a lot of things you might not be happy at doing. You'd probably be underpaid, but it would help you in a lot of fields, I think.
Well, speaking of young ladies that are making it, our girl Katie came on the show a couple times, was doing all the medical research, and has now been accepted as a physician's assistant school in Yale. It's the reason why she went to Yale, well, not because of the name, obviously, but they're going to allow her to do research for people there as well, because she loves doing it. You ever heard of a white coat ceremony?
Yeah, my niece went through it at Loyola when she started medical school.
Well, she had her white coat ceremony this weekend. Whenever I think of white coats, I either think of Nurse Ratched, or I think the white coat white coats are coming for you. I never dreamed that lovely Katie would have a white coat. I mean, I just don't picture her in a white coat, but I guess
it's a very dignified ceremony.
I'm sure it is, but everybody went out for the ceremony and everything. So, you know, good for her. She's a terrific girl, and she says she wants to be a guest again, even from Yale. So that'd be cool. So, Nance, what's going on in your world? What's going on in the mortgage world? Rates are, you know, we're kind of near the high here from recently, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. Let's see. Today's rate is 6.81, the same as it was last week.
Did you hear my little rant earlier about the cost of being in houses and how the insurance has gone up and the taxes? And I think it's probably at least 20-30% higher than what's in the CPI, maybe more.
Well, I did not hear it, but I will say this, that we had the most tornadoes this year of any other state, and we've had the most amount of claims, and I know for sure State Farm has developed a national disaster team, and those men have been up here, and men and women, have been up here since, way over 30 days. And they said it's just... So, I mean, the insurance rates have really gone up. I did took a mortgage yesterday morning, and the people want to stay within a certain, you know, amount, like, let's say $1,200 for their entire payment all in. Well, the taxes and insurance are going to be at least be $500 a month on the low side, right?
Yeah.
And insurance is at least going to be on a house $200 a month. I mean, you've got to figure that high, I told them, because of all these disasters. I mean, rates are going to go up.
It's one of friends of Mr. Lawler and mine. She happens to be like the manager of the bar downstairs. Terrific lady. And, they, for some reason, she and her hubby live in, it's Munster, right, Jim?
Yes.
And, well, they got whacked by the tornado a little bit, because the roof came off. It wasn't just, you know, a tree hit or anything like that. So, I mean, we're not talking about a regular blast of wind, but so they think the tornado touched down there or whatever. And it's been 2.5-3 weeks, and they've been, they had no power, right? Which I was talking to her last Thursday, and I said, you know, what's going on? She says, well, the place is, because all the water came in, it's all mold. All the rugs are coming out. All the plasterboard's got to come off. All the ceiling's got to come out. We're basically going to be down to studs at best, you know, if some mold doesn't even get into the studs. And I said, well, you know, did they ever total a house? I mean, I said, well, you know, if you get down to that far and you clean all that stuff out there and the thing is just a shell and you got a big hole in the roof, if they're going to get... She's with farmers. Said she hadn't seen anybody.
No, American
yet.
Family.
American family. Okay. Says he hasn't seen a guy yet. Okay. But of course, she knows her neighbors are already into the, was it wind? Was it water? You know, that kind of crap. And Do they ever? I said, Jen, if they're willing to just give you a check, take the check, sell the lot, and move somewhere else. You and your husband work 60 hours a week, both of you. You're not ready for a 2-year rebuild. Plus, do you even really like the area that much? She goes, well, we like it, but not that much. Do they ever like total a house and say, here's the dough, go?
No, not that I know of.
So you have to get it rebuilt. You have to go live somewhere else and you have to get the thing rebuilt.
No, generally what happens is if they say the house is inhabitable, if they have a mortgage, they pay off the mortgage.
Right.
And then whatever's left goes to you. And at that point, depending on how much the mortgage is, that's the, $100,000 question.
Well, what if I say I'm too old for this crap. I'm not going to wait two years to see if I can find... By the way, the whole neighborhood needs to be rebuilt. I'm waiting in a line. It could be 3 years. I don't need this. What do you do?
We can find a contractor to buy it.
Well, maybe. Maybe when Nancy,
yeah,
what,
a developer.
What? Where is that? We should... I mean, I should research this instead of asking you guys. What is the state of, like, was it Pacific Palisades? Is it going back up with the new building codes? If people get paid? Is there a million tradesmen running around the place rebuilding, or is it just sitting there? I don't even know.
It's just sitting there.
Really?
I mean, the number of permits they've issued for any kind of, restoration work is minuscule. It's like double digits, maybe. And I think the intention, really behind the whole event was they didn't want this to be housing for the preferred part of the population. They wanted to start all over again and rethink it as a kind of communal place where, we can set up homeless camps all over the place, cater to a completely different clientele. It sounds cynical, but that's kind of what it looks like to me.
But an individual
person...
John,
didn't he have something to do with the water, though? They have to reassess if they could get the water up there again before they could rebuild.
So the Pacific Palisades was on the coast. Yeah, so that's the
yeah, but I mean, for the firefighting, the lack of firefighting happened, and their cavalier attitude about reservoirs and keeping them filled and adequate response to any kind of a fire. There'll always be fires around there. I think a lot of people think this is time to get out of the whole city completely, and that may be the design behind a lot of this too. Just wear people down, discourage them from sticking around or thinking they can get what they used to have. Even if you build a nice house, if you're living in a fire-damaged, disaster area with everything around you still in a ruin, who wants to live like that?
When it gets to 2-3 years, what happens? Are you renting some... At that point, how do you even consider it your home anymore?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a dystopian kind of image, and It's a shame it happened to that, which is one of the better places in L.A., believe me, to live.
How far north of L.A. is it, John?
I'm sorry?
It's north of L.A. It's on the coast, right?
Yeah, it's not where it hooks, where the coast is almost like east-west, like Manhattan Beach, I think, around that area. But it fronts on the ocean.
Well, it's the same story as Florida. Now it appears to be the same story in northern Indiana, right?
Yep.
I mean, do you... What...
And California, other places in California that have fire risks, yeah, too.
Well, so Nancy, this lady downstairs, without me asking her, they're still paying their mortgage, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it's uninhabitable, like Jim says, the insurance company is supposed to put you someplace, but where's the someplace? There's no, well, you said there's no place to rent. I mean, not a whole lot of places to rent. I mean, we're in northern Indiana or southern Illinois, southern suburbs of Illinois, where you can have housing for 3,000 families. I mean, where are you going to find that, or 2,000, whatever it is, even if it's 500? I mean, I don't see how this all even meshes together. Do you?
That's why Spencer Pratt, the mayoral candidate in California, Los Angeles, that's why he was living in a mobile home.
Well, you know what we needed? We should have bought one of those little motels, the regular old motels, when they were available. I bet they're all full. Just thinking of money we can make on the little thing that you put the quarter in the thing by the bed, it buzzes. Remember those things? I bet they're not. I bet they take credit cards now. How scary would that be? Have your credit card number.
$10 bucks for 2 minutes.
Yeah, your credit card number. You're paying for the bed massage. So Nance, where do you see this? You're still seeing some people refinancing. Credit card debt's still an issue. It seems credit card debt blew to another record last month.
Credit card debt is still an issue. It's always an issue.
You still refinancing people because of credit card debt?
I have this year. I have. Not a ton, but I have. But these people were more on the desperate side. I mean, they didn't have anywhere else. You know, if you're living on credit cards, right, and you're using them, and you max and max and max and max out, sooner or later you have to start over, reset your clock. So, but as a matter of routine, no.
So what mortgages are you getting? The stats say you're not getting a lot of young couples. What, 21% of all mortgages in the last couple of months have been new buyers? The rest have been other people?
To tell you the truth, this year I mainly had, you know, more in our baby boomer age group. You know, they're moving and, you know, trying to find their something without stairs. So, you know, they don't want the stairs anymore.
That's kind of the people that kind of, she has that group where they're kind of trading houses, right?
People. Yeah, I mean, we did an open house yesterday, and the number one issue with it is the stairs. It's in a beautiful location. There's nothing wrong with it or anything like that, but people come in and, you know, I say you're probably looking for something without stairs or a bedroom on the main floor, and they said correct, and this just wasn't it. It just wasn't it. So, and you can't blame people. I mean, we know that there's issues when you don't have, you know, stairs, when you have stairs with climbing as you get older. Not so much because we're getting, you know, the body parts are being worn out. It's just the surgeries you have to do so your body isn't worn out.
Yeah. Well, the stairs are an issue even if you get hurt. You know, you sprain your ankle playing basketball, you can't use stairs are a problem. It's not like you just old people.
Correct.
You know, it seems like there's a little bit. I've talked to tourists. Now, you know, these are people who got money. But the people that have moved away, you know, that retired and moved to Florida and so forth, instead of people here wanting to do Florida, you know, 3 months a year, a lot of those people I met last week, and they were saying, oh, yeah, they moved to New Mexico, and they're looking for a place here so they can spend, you know, 3-4 months closer to their kids in the summertime.
We did have people like that yesterday that said they were, they had lived here their whole life. They moved to Florida. They loved it, but they do not want to live there in the summer. They want to come back for, like, you know, the summer months, and it's just too hot down there in the summer, period. End of story. And they want to come back up here for Christmas to see their kids and the holidays, and then go back. And they love it in Florida, they said. There's nothing wrong with it. We talked about the storms, and they said they just, you know, click a button, and then their storm, I can't remember what they said they were. They go over the windows.
Oh, the shutters.
Yeah, shutters. Yeah, they come down in the windows, and they said it's very dark, but it isn't a problem. They said you get tons of warnings start coming like a month in advance. So, and I asked if they had a generator, and they said no, we don't even have one of those. But you're fine in there until it's all over. That's it. I mean, they didn't say anything else, but they said that it's just, there's just so much up here compared to what they've had before that it, they want to come back. And they said all their neighbors basically go back.
Well, actually, some of the guys that the lawyers and judges that I meet once in a while, they get about 3 or 4 of those guys do that. They still have their 1 or 2 bedroom here they bought someplace and spend most of the time in Florida. And they come back for the summer. But what do you think the status of, you know, where are we now? There's not a whole lot of building. Odd says the guys that are doing buying a place that run down and selling it, they're a little nervous now. There's not a lot of buys. She used to do like one of those every couple of months, didn't she, back in the day? And where you could get something and and guys could put the money into it and sell it for a little bit of a profit. That seems a little harder now, doesn't it?
I don't see anybody doing that right now because the cost of the DYI costs are just, you know, way out of people's reach. And they can't, you know, the average person who buys a house just doesn't have the money to fix it up. And the people that did have the money to fix it up, they just can't. I mean, the cost of everything has gone up so much.
If you got a house, boy, I'm going to ask you to put a stab on this, and I'll give you mine, and we can all give a shot. If you got a house, let's say the size of yours, or yours is what? Yours is a little smaller, Nods.
Mine is smaller, yes.
But even a place like yours, if it wasn't somebody like you that hung in there and took care of it, and somebody just, you know, had a bunch of crazy kids that they never, whatever. All of a sudden, kitchen shot, the bathrooms are kind of shot, you need a new roof, the windows are kind of shot, and by the way, you need maybe, you know, air conditioning and heat to turn the thing all together. A total remodel of a place like yours, what's your number? I'm going to guess 100 and a quarter, 150 minimum, maybe two?
You know what, the first number that popped in my head was a minimum of 150. I mean, mine, after this year, mine should be totally redone. I mean, I built it, now I rebuilt it, and then I remodeled it. You know what I mean? It's just over the years, and I don't think there's anything that's not touched. Not a thing that hasn't been redone.
So let's say
all the bathrooms have been redone. I mean, there is nothing that hasn't been redone.
But let's say yours is, if it's all fixed up, it's going to be worth $450.
So I don't even think it would be that high. Right, I mean, to me, it's amazing, but I don't know.
All right, pick 400. So somebody would have to, if they're going to do all that and put 150 into it, somebody's going to have to buy the place. They're going to make a few bucks. They have to buy it for 200. They're never going to get it for 200.
No, my house is just, my house will be ready to, I mean, it will be sold. I mean, the people that have come in like this year to make repairs, they say, you know, we got to ask how old is this house? And when I tell them, they say, there's just no way. They said, lady, when you look around, nothing is dated. Nothing is not taken care of. He said, you can't say anything wrong with it, but it doesn't mean it's going to sell for more in this area. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it's just not. But I'm just hoping one of these days I get to enjoy it.
Well, yeah, we talked earlier in the show, Nance, about people's point of view, be it laws, be it patent laws, be it competition, be it drafts in football and baseball, and it's always just amazing to me that when people buy a car, and you pay, you know. You pay $50,000 for the car, and you use the hell out of it. And 2 years later, you sell it for $25,000. Well, you realize now it has some rust. It needs this. It needs that. You essentially used $25,000 of the car, right? And people understand that. But people buy a new house 10 years ago for $400,000. If they don't get $500,000 for it, they never dream that it's going to have to be $100,000 to make it the same position. Condition it was when they moved in. Nobody thinks that way.
That's what scares me.
If they sell it for $390,000, they think they lost $10,000. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You used the hell out of it for 10 years, and it only cost you $10,000. I mean, I look at it totally differently. Of course, I do it for a lot of things, but nobody thinks about that as a house or a condo. You used it up. The kitchen doesn't look like the day you walked in. Nor do the bathrooms. Nor do the windows. Nor does the floors. Right?
No, they don't. They don't. I mean, it's just. All I can tell you is it's shocking to see what I see out there. I mean, just absolutely shocking, because I don't know how people are going to, like the bathrooms. A woman walked in yesterday and said, okay, she said, this is one of the best ones I've seen so far. Okay. And she says, but I still probably, to get it up to date, would have to put $150,000 in here to update it. And I'm like, where? And it's amazing how, like, you forget about the lights, the, you know, the light fixtures, this, the, I was just like, wow, I don't know. And she said, well, that's okay. She said, everything else I've looked at, it's been $250 to $300. She said, this is pretty good. was like, wow, this is a bizarre conversation to be having.
Nance, without getting into pricing and high, too low, if you look at housing prices and how they've gone up in the last 10 or 15 years, and really since 2007, pretty much straight up, and you look at people's income, you see a mismatch, the same mismatch that I saw in 7 or 8, only I think probably worse. Now you got these mortgage rates creeping. There shouldn't be a tipping point, but I'll ask all three of you guys. I mean, Kevin, or the new Fed chair, I think wants to do the right thing. I don't see how he can, because all of a sudden he's being overwhelmed by the deficits coming out of the, I'll say the Congress and the president, because the president's a big spender too. Where are we? I have to believe that a 9% mortgage is a real problem for somebody's housing prices right now. Is it 7.5? Is it 9? Is it 12? Where's a real spot where all of a sudden everybody goes, I'm not paying $450 for this house, I'm paying you $375. Where are we? Are we all? Are we getting there, or are we not even close?
I think it's there's a different class of buyer now than I think we've ever seen, at least in these kind of numbers. Where if you have an established neighborhood, a nice block, in a nice town, decent amenities, and you just think that the house that's on the market there that you're interested in is a little bit below par and needs a lot of updating, there's a whole class of buyers that would say, I'm going to buy it, demolish it, and build my dream house in a neighborhood that's already established. I don't have to wait for the trees to mature 20 years from now to make it look like a neighborhood. It already looks like a neighborhood. And I'm going to have my house here and damn the expense. I don't care if it's the 9% mortgage or not. I've got the money. And this of course, is, is driving anybody else who's struggling to afford a house more modest than that. They're not in this market at all. But there's enough people at that level who would rather knock the thing down and replace it with something even grander than the neighboring houses that's got the whole median price sale out of whack in this country.
Well, I mean, you're keen on a point to, do you have the money? I mean, I've got housing prices going up roughly more than 150. This is since 2000. I've got them in the 150% range. The CPI has them at 119, and I've got income up about 99%. All right, so they don't match. So if all of a sudden you tack another 10 or 15% on every month because of interest costs, there's some spot there where they just don't match, and they probably don't match now. But my question is, how much more can it go before you just see it? I mean, I don't see the if interest rates are 9%, I know a lot of my clients are going to say, boy, maybe we should look at some fixed income here, right? I mean, the same thing. I don't know what. Nance, you do mortgages every day. You talk about people that are right on the bubble where they can afford it or not. You drive the rates up 2%. I'm saying half of them are no.
But Tom, I don't think the interest rate is. I mean, everyone views that as the issue. I think it's going to be the insurance and the taxes.
I think that's going
to be the bigger issue.
Well, it is an issue. I mean, those are the three issues. I'm just saying. I mean, if somebody's paying $500,000 for a place and they're putting down $100,000, the difference between 6% and 8% is pretty big, isn't it? On a monthly payment.
It depends on. It depends on how much you're borrowing. If you're starting to borrow $300,000-$400,000, $100,000 is much more palatable. So, but the fixed costs. I mean, yesterday, it was $700 just in fixed costs, and if they only want to be at $1,200, then you're forcing the mortgage rate to be, $500. I don't.
Well, how much are these association fees going up? They're going to their moon too, right?
Well, yeah, and that was another thing I explained to them. They'd be better off, and with where they wanted to be, I'd be better off buying a house.
There's
those association fees are affected by the blanket insurance policies on these developments too. That the unit owner's insurance doesn't cover, so that's why these dues are going up too.
Well, and then you got to remember too, the HOAs are not in townhomes. This is not in a condominium, but in townhomes, they're saying you're going to be responsible for your own roofs.
Oh.
So that's going to make another huge difference.
We have to dash, but one of the contributors to the show almost bit on a place downtown here. Jim, was it a two-bedroom or one? I don't recall. It was a two, but I think if he kicked me under the table, if I'm wrong, I think he said after putting $400,000 down between the mortgage, taxes, and the assessment was $6,500 a month. After plunking down $400,000. That's kind of a lot.
Kind of. I think it's, you know, crazy.
We're a select group of people who can afford that.
I mean, really, seriously. I mean,
plus, what do you do downtown? How do you go out and go take a walk in the park? There is no park. Why would you want to live down here unless you're from New York and are here during a week?
And Chicago looks like a step up.
Yeah, it's like. Anyway, I don't know if you heard Dr. Mark was on last Wednesday, Nancy's, and he's doing some psychology work on people that have been laid off in New York on these IT industries. He's saying if you get laid off, these guys, a lot of them, their rent or their mortgage is like $10,000 a month. So if they get laid off, they get like 2 months to find a job before they're like out of dough.
Then they have to sell. That's what's going to drive the cost of the houses down, right there.
Wow. Well, Nancy, maybe a Labor Day weekend we can all see each other. What do you think?
I heard you're going out of town.
For Sunday afternoon for 5 hours. So don't let that excuse to blow us off the whole weekend.
Well, I'm available. I it's fine with me.
What about Flanagan?
I don't know what he's doing.
I'm good.
He's good, all right? Well, I know we could probably drag Lawler down there if we had to. You know,
nope.
He's out. Oh, no, you're out. You're out. You're going up to Michigan. That's right. All right.
Where are you going in Michigan?
Lakeside.
Interesting.
I am driving my father to a friend's so he could go for this. I don't know if it'll be the last time or not. He's 91, and stairs are a real problem. He's like, oh, it's only four stairs. I was like, Dad, you have a problem with one step.
I mean, Mount Everest is four stairs for him.
Yeah.
But he's determined.
That's good.
That's why he's 91. He's determined.
Yep.
And that's why those guys are the way they are, because they're determined. God love them. SP Futures down 29. NASDAQ Futures down 105. Thank you, guys. Good job, John, Nance, Jimmy, and Matt. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here. Right now. Right here. Right now.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit hamzyanalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.
Yes, we are in very, very deep...